Lecture 5, What Christians Believe.
In our last presentation, we saw that one of the things that holds Christians together and gives them a sense of identity is that they share a long story, a story which gives them a sense of place in the world and a sense of participation in the world's destiny. It is a simple story of a fall from favor with God, a restoration to favor with God through the work of Jesus Christ, and a hope of full participation in God's life in a future life. This story is drawn from Scripture, from the experience and the history of the community. It provides an interpretation of the world, and it answers those three great existential questions that all humans are faced with. Where do we come from? And Christians answer, we come from a loving and creating God. Who are we? And Christians answer, we are God's children who have been saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And where are we going? And Christians say, we hope we're going to share more fully in God's life in a future resurrection. This brings us in the present presentation to a second element that binds many Christians together, and that is their belief or doctrine. So today we consider the creed, what Christians believe. Here we see another way in which religion is not simply about experience, but also about conviction. Now, in contrast to many religions, belief or doctrine holds a disproportionately important part in Christianity. In fact, this is one of the ways in which Christians often misconstrue other religious traditions, because belief, that is, what do we profess, what do we think, what are our convictions, are so important to Christians that they assume that it is important to all other religions as well. And so when they turn to other religious traditions and they ask, what do you believe, when in fact other religious traditions would want to respond in terms of, what is it that I'm doing? What are our practices? For example, the two other great Western traditions. In Judaism, the emphasis is entirely upon keeping the commandments of God, the mitzvot, and being an observant Jew. Judaism has managed to survive for millennia with the simple proclamation that is found in the book of Deuteronomy, the Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall put no other God before this God, but you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. When Moses Maimonides introduced a more elaborate frame of creed in the 12th century, many Jews resisted this, and it has never become a kind of normative part of Judaism. Similarly, for Muslims, to be Islama, to be submissive, is to do the five pillars of Islam. It is not an elaborate set of beliefs which defines a Muslim. One of those pillars, to be sure, is the Shahada, which is the simple declaration, I proclaim or I confess that Allah alone is God and Muhammad is his Rasul, his prophet or ambassador. But beyond that, Islam has no need for a further elaboration of a creed. Why then is belief so important in Christianity? It has to do with how Christianity originated, out of what kind of experience, and its early development. Jesus himself, as the Gospels show, undoubtedly shared the simple profession of faith of Israel, that God is one. And we see in early Christian writers, Paul and James, the same profession, God is one. But if Jesus is proclaimed as Messiah, Jesus is Christ, that begins to introduce not only a positive assertion, but by implication, a negative one. If Jesus is Messiah, then others are not Messiahs. There's a way of sort of defining Christianity within Judaism, making a choice, a plus, but also a minus. Even more dramatically, to say that Jesus is Lord because of the experience of the resurrection means that one's understanding of the oneness of God now becomes more complicated. What does it mean to say that God is Lord? Remember, that's the very name of God in the Hebrew Bible, Yahweh or Kyrios. And also to say that Jesus is Lord. We see this complication already within 24 years of Jesus' death. When Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, he says in chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, "We know that no idol in the world really exists," speaking as a good Jew here, "and that there is no God but one.